the church. The church. Our guests last Sunday at about 1:45, my daughter, who's in our choir singing with you last week, sent me a text message. She said, "Daddy, you'd like this church." She said, "They just now getting out." She said, "They took two offerings. You'd like this church." Yeah. You know, church is done differently in a lot of different places. Hey, we did church different here last Sunday. We had a high church style on the organ last Sunday. That guy played something I never heard. I didn't know what it was. It's our guest. There are people that'll do rural country church today. There'll be cowboy church in different places today. There'll be blended and contemporary. But you see, the church is the body of Christ. It is us come together, and we are supposed to be something. And Paul tells us what we're supposed to be in this text. Now, I started to entitle this message, "Let It Be." But I knew all those old baby boomers would run right to that old Beatles song if I did that. You know, Paul McCartney wrote "Let It Be," and it almost broke up the Beatles. They had a rift in the group. Some of them quit and walked out. Then came back and made another million. Paul McCartney's mother, Mary, died of cancer. And his inspiration for "Let It Be" was the death of his mother. And when he wrote, "In troubled times, Mother Mary comes," he was not talking about the Virgin Mary. He was talking about his earthly mother, that in times of trouble, times of darkness, Mother Mary would come to me and she'd say, "Paul, let it be. It's going to be all right. Let it be." When people come against you and they disagree, and she said, "Paul, just let it be. Just be who you are." Well, church, I want to say to you this morning, there's some things we've got to be no matter what comes. And I want to give these to you today. And they're, now, I'm not preaching tonight, so I got eight things I want to tell you today, all right? And I know the other crowd's coming in at 11, so it'll be okay. But eight things we got to be. And I want you to see these with me. And there's eight verses I read, and there's one out of every verse. I want you to see it. Let's just look at it. Church. How many of you are saved, member of the church? Just lift your hand, raise your hand, say amen. How many of you, member of the church? All right, if you're on God's side, this is what you're supposed to be. Here we go. Number one, we are supposed to be first consistent. Consistent. Look in verse number 9. He said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." The word hypocrisy there can be translated the word pretend, to simulate. The word hypocrisy was taken out of the theater when people would wear a mask and they would come on and they would wear that mask with a smiley face or with a frowning face. They were hypocrites. They were one thing behind the mask, but they were another when people were looking at the mask. Thank God nobody at Olive Baptist Church wears a mask. Amen? We do not simulate Christianity. We are Christianity. I was out speaking at the group over in with the helicopter training a few weeks ago, and they asked me, said, "Pastor, would you like to come out here and ride in a helicopter simulator?" I said, "I think I would." So one of the instructors put me in there, and he said, "Sit down here. Now you got to grab the stick in the middle, and then you put your feet on these deals, and that makes it go this way, and this makes it. No, we never did move, but we sure did simulate moving. We went out over the Gulf. I saw it. We flew over Olive Baptist Church. First thing when we started going up, I said, "Where's the little white bag?" I said, "Does anybody ever get sick in here?" They said, "Well, you're not moving." I said, "Oh, yeah, we're moving." You see, we weren't moving, but we were simulating that. We were in a sim. Let me tell you, there's a lot of folk in the church don't never move. They just play a game like they are moving. We are to be consistent. We have watched in America the height of hypocrisy the last 2 weeks. Well, we've all watched him drop a 40-foot putt to win the Masters. But we've watched hypocrisy to get us to buy his Tigerade and his Nike shoes. He's just got us to buying stuff because it's hard to believe Nike's theme. Just do it. Hey, there was something going on behind the scenes nobody knew about. The church, if we're not careful, we'll throw stones at Tiger Woods. But let me tell you, we got our own hypocrisy we got to take care of. Be consistent. Number two, a choir, if you keep that up, we're going to be here a long time. Number two. Not only we got to be consistent, we got to be compassionate, the Bible says in verse number 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. The word here for devoted is the word philos. It is where we get our word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's the way we're to be to one. We're supposed to love one another in this house. We're to be compassionate. Brotherly love. Now, I'm an only child. One of our ladies came in this morning and said, "Pastor, you know, I'm an only child, and I can identify to some of the things you said. I've never had a brother or sister. When we had two children, I couldn't figure out why they fought and what they did." I said, "What is it?" And Liz said, "Well, they just loving one another." I said, "Looks to me like they hate each other's guts. What are they doing?" And she said, "They're loving on each other." I said, "Well, that could have fooled me." But there's something about a brotherly love when you got a brother or sister and your hearts are knit together. We often, when families will have two sons, sometimes they will name them David and Jonathan. Now, David and Jonathan were not brothers, but they were spiritual brothers. Jonathan was Saul's son. David was not his flesh and blood brother. But the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 18, in verse number 1, that their hearts and their souls were knit together. They were together. You could not separate them. They were bound. That's what we're to be, church. We're to be bound together with compassion so that nothing can separate. Let the church be consistent. Let the church be compassionate. Number three, let the church be, verse 11, combustible. Combustible. Look at it in verse number 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're to be fervent. That means be hot. That means to be combustible. Not lukewarm. When we read about the church in Laodicea in the book of Revelation, we read in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, where the writer says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth." Church, I want you to hear me today. I have a grave concern for Olive Baptist Church. God's been so good, and we've been blessed. But I sense a lukewarmness among us. It's been in me. You know, you can just kind of go through the motion and do pretty good. But this text tells us in verse 11, don't lag behind in your diligence. Don't just slough off. Be fervent. Be combustible within the spirit of your life, serving the Lord with a fervor, with a heat. Nothing is as cold as a heart that loves only itself. And in this church, if we just love ourselves, nothing will be as cold as Olive Baptist Church. There must be something within us that is combustible so that we're on fire for the Lord. It's my prayer that next year, as we're having this discipleship emphasis beginning in January and walking through the eight callings of God, January, February, and in March, April, and May, we'll be teaching through the book of Ephesians verse by verse Sunday. We'll do that in Sunday school, we'll do it in here. I'm praying God will fan the flames among us, combustible, and that fire would break out. Amen. I had a fire in the fireplace last night, first time we've had one this season. Opened up that thing, and always remember, open the top before you light the bottom. If you don't, you're going to look like Leo when you light that up. Yeah. I remembered, and I couldn't get it to go. I know it'd been raining, the wood is wet. And I looked over, and when we moved, Liz had those, that little deal, the billets. And so I just started. The more I blew, the hotter it got. You know, sometimes you can blow out a fire. But other times, you can cause a fire to ignite with the right kind of wind that will come. It's my prayer that a wind from heaven blow across this place and catch us on fire. The church is to be consistent, is to be compassionate, is to be combustible. Number four, it is to be, verse 12 says, be faithful. You thought it was all going to start with a C, didn't you? Verse 12 says, rejoicing in the Lord, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. We are to hope in tribulation. We are to hope in prayer. Do you know that this very morning in the country of China, where there is 1.3 billion, that's with a B, 1.3 billion people, 10% of the population of the 1.3 billion in China are evangelical Christians. There is a fire stirring. They built one of the largest churches in China 5 years ago, 50,000 members. It is called the Golden Lamp Church. There's a picture of it. The Golden Lamp Church. And 2 weeks ago, 400 police officers with thugs with them came in and arrested the pastors. They're in jail this Sunday morning. They knocked the windows out of that new building that they'd built. Took all the computers and pianos and everything else they had. Took everything out of the church. See, China used to have a house church movement. Today, they've stepped out and they're building buildings and going public with their faith. The authorities are bringing great persecution. And Dear friend, the church in China must learn what we're going to have to learn, and that is to be faithful even when persecution comes. You're supposed to rejoice in your hope. You're to persevere in tribulation. And how do you do it? Verse 12 says you got to be devoted to prayer. I'm telling you, until you become a praying believer, you will never be a persevering believer. You've got to learn to call on the name of the Lord. We need to pray for our friends at the Golden Lamp Church, that God would give them energy to persevere. And when the world comes against us, and I'm telling you, if we live much longer as evangelicals in America, you're going to see some persecution come against the church. The first thing that's going to come is that they're going to begin to tax the property of the churches. In a time of economic downturn, they're going to come. Do you know our church sits on 51 acres? Do you know what the tax bill on property assessment would be on Olive Baptist Church? We'd have to take more than two offerings, I'll tell you that. That'll be the first inch that comes. Get ready to be faithful. Get ready to be faithful. In the midst of tribulation, let the church be found faithful. Let the church be consistent, compassionate, combustible, be faithful. Number five, let it be generous, verse 13 says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. We're to give our tithe, we're to give our time, we're to give our talent. You're never more like Jesus than when you're giving. Just yesterday, I went by the home of a sweet lady in our church. She's a widow now. She's burying her second husband. She had been married and buried a man and met her husband at Fellowship Supper at Olive Baptist Church. If you're a widow, you ought to show up on Wednesday night at Fellowship Supper. You never know what God's going to do at Fellowship Supper. She met her new husband, married him 9 years ago. And she buried her second husband. I went by to visit with them yesterday or Friday. She said, "Pastor, would you wait here? I have something for you." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." This gentleman sent me a tie every year. He always was an impeccable dresser. I'll go to his, drop by the funeral home when they have the service, and I'll wear one of his ties he gave me. She came and handed me a fistful of stuff. She said, "Pastor, here's what you said." And I put it in my pocket. She said, "I've been needing to get that done. Would you take care of it?" And I took it to be, it was probably an offering. September, October, November, December. She'd been caring for her husband, not able to get out of the house, watching us on television. And to those of you who watch by television today, thank you for your faithfulness unto the Lord. And she had made out those checks. She said, "I thought I would get there," but she said, "Pastor, this is beginning December. This is month number four, and I know we need to get this turned in. I just hadn't mailed her to camp." And she said, "I just love my church, and I want to give." Be generous with your tithe. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your talent. On Christmas Eve every year, we have two great Christmas Eve services. We'll do it again this year, 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And we'll put a manger right down here, and we'll take the pastor's favorite offering of the year. It's just a fun time. Well, all the kids bring the offering, and we give it to some ministry need here in the city. And this year I've entitled the Christmas Eve offering as "Turn the Lights On, Keeping the Lights On." We have more people who cannot pay their light bill, who cannot pay their water bill. We have more people that are hungry right now, and we're going to give. I shared it with one of our folks, and I got an email yesterday from one of our staff who said, "Pastor, I'm praying unto God we give $50,000 this Christmas Eve, that we can help people, not just at Christmas, but we can help in January and July and in September, and that we can help people." And I encourage you, over and above your tithe and offering, we'll give. People have almost learned now not to bring a lot of money on Christmas Eve. I encourage you, don't just bring some cash, bring a check. And over and above, if God's blessed you and been good to you, then give unto the Lord. Let me tell you, this has been a phenomenal year in my life. Both of my children have graduated from college. I don't pay any tuition this year. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Both my kids moved out of my house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm able to give more because I don't have more people stealing from me all the time. See, you may be one of those being blessed. You may be one that's scuffling right now. But I don't care where you are. Give unto the Lord. God's church is to be generous. Number six, not only be generous, but the church is to be a blessing. Look in verse 14. The Bible says, now look at this. Don't miss this. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Now the word bless, don't miss it. The word bless is two words put together. It is the word EU in the Greek New Testament, which is the word good. And it is the word LEGO, lego, which is the word talk or speak. It means to talk good. Now I know that's not right, but that's what it means, all right? It means to speak well. And you put those two words together, EU and lego, and you have the word eulogy. Eulogy. So when somebody dies, they ask someone to come up and give the eulogy. You speak good about that person. If you're going to talk bad, they don't ask you to come. Amen. When I die, don't let somebody eulogize me. That's my enemy, all right? You want a friend. That's the word. And here, look what Paul said. Eulogize those who, persecute you. Bless, eulogize them, and do not curse them. Church, won't you to hear me now? What makes the church different than other people in town is that we speak good things about those who say bad things about us. We speak good things about local paper editorials. Yes, we do. You know, in the papers, when they write now, they put their email address. I'm telling you, if you want to have some fun, just find you a writer that you don't like. Find you one. It just rubs you the wrong way. And just start sending little notes. What a great art. And everybody says something good every now and then. And write a good word. Write a good word across there. I got a couple of guys in the sports section. I write on a consistent basis. That was a great article today. Thank you for taking time. And I always sign it. Keep writing. I'm reading. I've been amazed at how many good comments I get back. Thank you. Thank you. See, the church is to be a blessing to people. Now, there's some stuff we got to stand against, and we're going to stand against that. But I'm telling you, it's okay to speak a good word every now and then. Let the church be a blessing. Number seven, let the church be sensitive. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. In death and in joblessness, it's time to weep with other people. Babies being born and weddings being performed, it's time to rejoice. Did you see on the deal the other day, Brother John, your group you've ministered to many, many years here, did you see on YouTube where a young couple got married when the pastor pronounced them husband and wife and said, kiss the bride? They said, wait a minute, and they whipped out their cell phones and they changed their status on Facebook before that he kissed the bride. If I'd have been the pastor, I'd have walked out the door. Somebody said, if you need me, call me. I'll be gone. Don't do me that way. But that's the world in which we live today. It's just where we are. If you want to know how to encourage folks even in their wedding time, I encourage you to go to a website called Carrot Culture. Carrot Culture. Carrot, just like a carrot. The Carrot Culture. It'll help you know how to encourage those who work with you and work for you. You can sign up and they will send you once a week. You can do this for your employees that won't cost you anything but will be a blessing to them. Called the Carrot Culture. I get it every week. I use it. Doesn't take but just a little bit to be sensitive to the needs of people around you. And that's what we're to be. When we find people weeping, weep with them. We find people rejoicing, rejoice with them. That's what we're to do. Let the church be the church. And then lastly, not only are we to be consistent and compassionate, combustible, be faithful, be generous, be a blessing, be sensitive. Verse 16 says that we are to be humble people. Notice verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Be humble. Be humble. Be humble, people. Be humble. It is Jesus' favorite verse in all of the Word of God. It's the only thing that is said in the Gospels three different times, and it is not a repeat that, you know, John said it and Mark said it and Luke said it, but it's the same. No, this is three separate occasions. It's the only thing Jesus ever said that is recorded on three separate occasions. He repeated this. I find things that people repeat become favorites of theirs. I believe Jesus' favorite verse was this. Jesus said it three different times. He said it to a Pharisee. He said it at a wedding. Here's what Jesus said. He that exalts himself will be brought low. And he that humbles himself will be exalted. I've used this with you before. I share this. I think the Living Bible paraphrase of that is, peacock today, feather duster tomorrow. When you lift up yourself, you get ready, because great will be the fall. Pride goes right before destruction. But if you want to be lifted up in due time and God lifts you up, let humility be a part. Now, my Olive people, and we have guests here today, but I want my Olive family to hear me. As far as church goes, you're one of the big boys in town, numerically. Doesn't mean we're doing anything, just means there's a bunch of us got together. People watching us. And if you get to strutting, sitting down, then God's going to let us crash. We must remain a humble people. I was in the doctor's office this week, and down Davis Highway is a group of doctors. They've built a big, huge, new building down there. Got some oncologists and urologists together and another group of folks with cancer research. They just do everything. And I was in for a visit with one of the doctors, and I said, "How's the building?" He said, "It's pretty good, almost big as yours." This is a Jewish fella. They're watching. And when they find us full of ourselves, our influence is out the window. But when they find us humble, God will exalt us in due time. He was one of God's chief servants. He pastored the MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church in Irving, Texas. He died, in my economy, prematurely to cancer. His name was Dr. Ron Dunn. You can look Ron up on the internet. A lot of his sermons are there. I ran across a quote from Ron Dunn I want to finish with today. I'd never heard Ron say this, but here's what was attributed to Dr. Ron Dunn. If our reputation or comfort is not in the Lord, then we will be shaken when we are treated unfairly. Hear it again. If your reputation or your comfort is not in the Lord, that is, your reputation, it is in something else, then you will be shaken when you're treated unfairly. But the opposite of that is true too. If your reputation or comfort is in the Lord, when you're treated unfairly, you'll not be shaken. Because your reputation is not what people think about you, it's what God knows about you. And that's what the church is supposed to be, is a body that is unshakable, because our reputation and our comfort and our wherewithal is not in us, but is in Him. Be the church. Be the church. Somebody today ought to be a part of the church. You ought to be saved today. You ought to be a member of the church today. You ought to behave today. Amen. You ought to be saved. You ought to be a member, and you ought to behave. You ought to be the church. Now, Tom Savage has got all of this mess down here this morning. See all of this? All of this right here. When we do this, I have people say, well, you know, preacher, I would have come forward that morning, but I couldn't get to the front. Well, I'm here, and you can get to me. The altar's here. You can get over there. There's an altar. You can get here. See, Brother Tom's been with me long enough. He knows now not to fill up the front. As a matter of fact, there's benches gone down here this morning. They took them out. Why'd they take them out? They took them out so you could come. So you could come. Somebody here today, yes to Jesus. Somebody here today, yes to the church. Somebody here to say, Pastor, oh, I've been in the far country. I hadn't been being the church. I've been being me. And it's time for me to come home unto the Father. Boy, Christmas is a great season to come home to the Lord. Olive, let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's be the body of Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life for us. Lord, as we've been exhorted by your word today, I pray you'll draw people unto yourself. Save them. I pray people come and unite with a family today. I pray, God, you'll do a good thing in this invitation. Teach us how to be the church. Give the harvest, I pray, in Jesus' name.